Well, this morning we're going to begin a new series of messages based on the Old Testament book of Psalms. And before we get into our text today, I'm just going to talk generally about the Psalms for just a couple of minutes. In the most basic sense, a psalm is a biblical song or prayer. The collection of the Psalms that are found in the middle of the Old Testament, really the middle of the Bible, sometimes we refer to it as the Psalter, was the prayer and hymn book of ancient Israel. These songs, lessons, and prayers were prayed and written down, collected and passed on in the history of Israel for about 1,000 years of biblical history. So it's quite a collection. In fact, the Psalms were the songbook of Jesus and his disciples. For example, at the conclusion of the Lord's Supper, just before heading to the Mount of Olives, Jesus and his disciples sing from and pray from Psalms 115 through 118. The early church followed the example of Jesus. The Apostle Paul commanded the Ephesian Christians to speak to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. You might not have realized that we're commanded to sing to the Lord. The worship and devotional life of the church has been shaped and enriched by the Psalms for 2,000 years. There's a couple of unique ways that the Psalms contribute to our spirituality, our life of faith as Christians. One way concerns how we use the Psalms. We don't simply read the Psalms like we might read Proverbs or the Book of Acts, seeking insight for living or information about the past, perhaps. Instead, the Psalms are to be experienced. We sing them to the Creator. We pray them to our Heavenly Father. The words of the psalmists, that's the authors and the poets, their words should become our words. The Psalms should impact how we relate to God. And so this leads to second ways that the Psalms influence our devotional life as believers. The Psalms provide us with prayer and worship language. They provide us with the language of prayer and worship. So we typically think of the Bible as God's word to humankind. God reveals himself to us. He reveals his truth to us, his word to us. And this is true. And the Psalms certainly certainly we can think of them as God's word to us. They teach us about God. They teach us about the human condition. They teach us about life with God. However, there's also a sense in which the Psalms, more technically, are humankind's words to God. The Psalms describe men and women of faith seeking God, reaching out to him, groping and wrestling with his mystery, confessing trust, and declaring his praises. One author put it, the Psalms are essentially the record of the human quest for God. The Psalms provide us with 150 models of how we can pursue God in prayer, devotion, and worship. They deepen our understanding of God and our relationship with him. They train us how to pray and sing. And they teach us how to pray prayers that move God's heart. And if you've ever wrestled with prayer, then it's a good time maybe to pick up this training book that we've been provided. And this is why at the beginning of a new year and during such a kind of just a chaotic, uncertain time, I think we need to turn to a book like the Psalms to grow in prayer and worship and in the life of faith. In short, to grow in our relationship with God. It seems very vital right now. So the title of the series is entitled The Psalms and the Life of Faith. And I want to just share a quote with you that kind of inspired the theme for the series from a book called Journey Through the Psalms. The Psalms teach us that there are many different kinds of prayer and many different ways of praying to God that articulate the entire range of human emotions: fear, praise, anger, thanksgiving, joy, and despair. All the feelings that mark our struggle for faith from day to day appear in the Psalter. Psalm language grasps for us the many facets of God in our relationship to God, whom we experience as both present and absent. Psalms allow us to be honest and whole before God as we express our faith in good times and bad and every time in between. A journey through the Psalms is the journey of the life of faith. The Psalms teach us to pray and worship with authentic faith, brutal honesty, sincere struggle, unquenchable hope, and with unwavering faith in God and confidence in God. In short, the Psalms teach us to pursue God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In fact, with our whole being. Now, there are different types of psalms, and we're going to get into this a little bit deeper if you're interested for a Wednesday night Bible study beginning this week. And in the weeks to come, over the next several weeks, I'm going to share with you some different examples of the different prayer and worship styles and models that we can find in the Psalms and try to apply them to our lives. But there's a handful of psalms that provide us, not with a prayer to pray or a song to sing, but with instruction and guidance for the life of faith. And we call these psalms wisdom psalms. And so we're going to begin our study today with a very short wisdom psalm that kind of serves as a gateway into the entire book of Psalms, the entire Psalter. And so if you want to open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1, Psalm chapter 1, and if you have a print Bible, it's probably right there in the middle. That's always one of the fun parts of, you can always find the Psalm. We're going to start the very first Psalm. And while you're opening to Psalm 1, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Would you like to be blessed this new year? Would you like your life 2021 to be a year of blessing? Let me see a show of hands. If you don't raise your hand, I'm not sure what that means exactly, but okay, more fine. So it looks like pretty much everybody. I did an online search, how to have a blessed new year, and I got a list of possible, some of the most important popular resolutions. So how are you doing with your resolutions? You know, it's been a couple weeks now, so it's getting challenging, isn't it? In fact, I told Tracy on December the 31st that one of my resolutions was going to be I was not going to tell any more bad jokes for the rest of the year. So that was December the 31st. Think about that for a minute there. It's never a good joke when you have to explain it, so I should know better than that. But I'm so glad it's a new year because, hindsight is 2020. So there you go. Now, this computer search suggested that a key to a blessed and prosperous new year was setting positive, self-improving resolutions. And there's about five or six that were said to be the top resolutions every year. Let's see if you can guess. What do you think number one is for most people? Weight. Losing weight. That was going to be one of mine, but I hate losing. And so, I'm just not sure about that. But getting in shape and losing weight was number one. Number two is related, a healthier diet. Number three was kind of getting finances in order, saving, getting out of debt, that sort of thing. Another big one was to not procrastinate in 2021. That's one of my goals. In fact, I'm going to start in February on that one. So, learning a new skill is another one that came up as far as the top resolutions. And these are wonderful goals, and it can definitely add and add to our happiness if we can pursue them. But Psalm 1 suggests that a key to a better life in 2021 involves following the right path. Following the right path. And Psalm 1 provides us with a simple path this new year that leads to blessing and fruitfulness and abundant life. So let's read Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Psalm 1 actually presents two paths that we can follow this new year. And it implies that we have to pick one. We have to pick which path we're going to follow. One path leads to blessing, but the other path leads to destruction. Let's consider the negative path first. We might call it the path of the world, the common path, the familiar path. Verse 1 uses a series of simple metaphors to describe the person that journeys down the path of life without God. First, this person begins walking down the path and spending time with the wicked, those that don't have any place for God in your life. If you would read through the Psalms and Proverbs, you're going to see the idea of the wicked defined that way. The wicked is those that don't have any room for God in their life. And soon they're hanging out with the godless, and they're listening to their advice, and they're being influenced by their attitudes and actions. In other words, they choose to stand and identify with the wicked. And finally, as life spirals out of control, the unwise person chooses to sit in the company of mockers. In short, they're living a worldly life apart from God. One pastor put it this way: if you follow the wrong counsel, then you will stand with the wrong companions and finally sit with the wrong crowd. The path apart from God leads to a downward progression. And the end result is that we become a mocker, as the Bible puts it. A mocker or a scoffer is someone who laughs at the things of God, holy things. They laugh at God. They laugh at God's truth. They laugh at God's church. A mocker does what he or she wants. Anything goes. Their heart is hard. They celebrate evil and immorality, and they make fun of and they attack people of faith. They are people of the world, and many of them are proud of their atheism. And the world loves the mocker. Countless people follow them on their social media accounts, elect them to office, and want to interview them on their entertainment shows and hear their life philosophy. But the Bible cautions us this morning not to follow this godless path. Psalm 1 challenges us not to be too impressed with the world, with the wicked, the sinner, the mocker. They appear to live lives of glamour, but apart from God, life is actually hollow and hopeless and aimless. Those of the world who shake their fist at God and on the surface seem cool and stylish, but the Bible offers a different perspective, and it exposes the truth. There's little substance behind all the glamour. There's little stability apart from God. In fact, Psalm 1 gives us a visual picture of what life is like apart from God. Verse 4, the wicked are like chaff that the wind blows away. And the psalmist is referring to the ancient farming technique of winnowing. The farmer would take a winnowing fork and throw the grain into the air, and the heavy grain seeds would fall to the ground, while the grain husks, the chaff, would blow away into the wind. The chaff is useless. It's without stability, without substance. Now, truthfully, I feel a little bit funny about talking to you about farming. What do I know about farming, really? I grew up around pavement, you know. This is how Psalm 1 describes the person, the life apart from God, like dust in the wind. It cautions us that a person walking down the path of the world without God is like straw just floating away in the air. This path is without meaning and direction. It's filled with hopelessness and despair, and eventually it leads not to blessing, but the psalm says, the wisdom of God says, to destruction, to judgment, to hell. The path of the wicked in Psalm 1 provides us with an invitation to examine our life at the beginning of 2021. What a great time to do it. Who or what shapes our life? Who or what are we listening to? What voices are we listening to? What kind of company are we keeping? Are we allowing the messages of the world, the mockers of the world, to influence us? The Bible warns, don't go down the path of life without God. It leads to destruction. And that's important wisdom for all of us just to grasp, especially at the beginning of a new year. And so instead of walking down the path of the wicked, Psalm 1 offers a second path that we can follow. It's a different road. It's the road of life with God. And we're told it leads to blessing and bounty and eternal life. Again, I'll read Psalm 1, the first three verses. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. This path of blessing describes a relationship with God. If we have a relationship with God, living in his presence, living in his grace, living in his love, then we're going to be blessed. How do we have a relationship with God? Well, the Bible would certainly say it begins and it takes place through Jesus. And as we live the Christian life, we have a relationship with God through his Spirit, through his church. I think we encounter God through his creation gifts, such as the beauty of nature and loving relationships. But a primary way that we can know and fellowship with God is with his written word, the Bible. And after much reflection this week, it dawned on me that Psalm 1 is really a psalm about influence. Influence. Who or what influences you? What informs you, guides your life? What do you delight in? God's creation is filled with wonderful gifts that we can delight in. Love, friendship, the beauty of nature, family, good food, community, coffee I might throw in there, to just name a few. But Psalm 1 teaches that a truly blessed person will delight in the law of the Lord. Now, the word translated law is literally the Old Testament idea, the word Torah. And Torah literally means instructions, God's instructions. Psalm 1 invites us to view the entire Psalter, the whole book of Psalms, as a type of Torah, as God's instruction for heartfelt prayer, sincere worship, and wise living. But we can also understand Psalm 1 encouraging us to view the entire Bible as God's instructions to delight in and meditate upon. And if you delight in something, you're going to give your time and attention to it. And the promise of Psalm 1 is that if we view reading God's word not as a burden, but as a blessing, as a source of joy and pleasure, then we're going to be blessed. Blessing will come. I think the beginning of a new year is such an appropriate time to make a new or maybe a renewed commitment to reading and studying the Bible and applying its message to our lives. And making delighting in and meditating upon Scripture in 2021 requires time and focus and some discipline. And you know, that can be challenging. It's challenging for all of us in the busyness of life, the distractions of modern life, especially during a time, such an uncertain time. I think another challenge is the Bible really can be kind of intimidating. You know, it's a big book, and it can be a little confusing to all of us at times. And we may not quite know where to start. So I'm going to wrap up today. I'm going to share with you just a couple of practical steps for getting started with Bible reading and reflection that is transformative and can lead to blessing this new year. And I want to kind of keep that idea, that visual of the path, the journeying down the path. So here's the first step. Collect your tools for the journey. Collect your tools for the journey. The most basic tool is going to be a clear English translation of the Bible. I've got my favorites. I preach from the New International Version, the NIV. I love the New Living Translation. I always read that each week. In the ESV, the English Standard Version, those are just some of the best clear English Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible, you've come to the right place. We do the Bible here. We'll get you a Bible, I promise. I would say related, especially if you're new to the faith, if you want to go a little deeper, a good study Bible is a wonderful tool. I would encourage you to get a study Bible that where the notes, the commentary is put together by a community of teachers and scholars and not just one person. I've been using the same study Bible for 30 years. I got it my first year in Bible college in 1992. I'm still using it. It's the NIV study Bible. It's my favorite. Some other tools you want to read, maybe with a pad of paper and a pen, jot down notes, observations, insights, questions you may have, key verses, prayer themes that surface. And I'm not an expert in this for sure, but there are some wonderful electronic tools out there for Bible study and reading. A couple years ago, I got the app, the YouVersion Bible, and that's a wonderful app, and I listen to it every day. It's really been a great blessing to me, and I'd be happy to talk to you about that. I think another tool that we need is just some good questions as we read the Bible. So these would be the kind of questions. Maybe you ask, what's encouraging? What's challenging? What does this passage teach me about God, about people, about myself, about how I am to live? And then as you read, look for, is there a command to follow? Is there a promise that you can claim? Is there an example that you can imitate? So those are some of our tools. A second step, pick a time and place to make the journey. Pick a time and place to make the journey. Decide on the best time of the day to read the Bible. Some of you are morning people. Some of you are more nighttime people. Maybe somewhere in between. Pick your time. And select a location where reading can take place. You got a few minutes of quiet with God. A place of simplicity and solitude. Maybe it's a special place in your house. Some of you tell me you like to get up early and read around the kitchen table. That might be your quiet place. Maybe it's somewhere in nature. Maybe it's a coffee shop. Maybe it's somewhere here in the church. That's always an option as well. I think to accomplish this step, we need to power down and to unplug our gadgets and things and to declutter our life a little bit. I think we have to be really intentional for good Bible reading. You're not going to get much out of the Bible if you're getting some kind of social media update every 5 seconds. We've got to discipline ourselves in that way so we can get the most out of it. And if you have children, you really can't power them down. I don't know what to tell you. Just do the best you can, okay? Just hang in there for another 15 years and you'll be fine, okay? We found a way somehow, didn't we, Trace? I would also say, as we think about time and place, is be realistic. Be realistic. You may not have an hour in the morning to read Scripture at this moment in your life. But maybe you have 15 minutes over lunchtime. Make the most of the time that you have at this particular time in your life, and I think God promises that he'll bless you for it. Here's the third step. Determine the pace of your journey. Determine the pace of your journey. You know, there are different approaches to reading God's Word. I kind of think this visual in my mind of going to a buffet or maybe going to a fancy restaurant. When you go to a buffet, you want to eat a lot quickly. You want to chow down, right, Brad? Right. So, but if you go to a fancy restaurant, you're in for the experience. It's going to take your time. You're going to savor what you're eating. So I think that's a kind of a good way to think about different approaches to reading the Bible. There are different approaches, and sometimes what we want to do is we want to read a lot of the Bible, large portions of Scripture, get the big picture. That's kind of the buffet approach. So there's a time and place to read through the whole Bible in a given year and follow a plan. Lots of good plans out there. We did that a couple of years ago as a church. That was very meaningful. But you know, that's not the only way to read the Bible. And my experience is when people try to read the whole Bible, especially if you're new to it, it can be very discouraging. You get bogged down about Leviticus, usually for most people. But there's also value in reading smaller portions slowly. That's kind of that fancy restaurant approach. You listen to God, you take notes, you memorize verses, you pray through a passage. Maybe that's just a few paragraphs, maybe that's a chapter or something like that a day. And if you're new to the Bible, I would encourage you to begin with smaller sections. If you're completely new, maybe start with one of the Gospels that tell us about Jesus. Start with the Gospel of John, who gives us some details about Jesus, but wants us to understand Jesus' identity. Or I'm a big fan of reading Luke and Acts, the story of Jesus, the story of the church, part one and part two. Or if you want to read some of the letters in the New Testament, read Ephesians and Philippians. And then go over to James and then 1 Peter. And those four letters will give you a really good handle on what Christian discipleship is. And then maybe at that point, you're ready to read the whole New Testament. And we may do that as a group here in the near future. And eventually you move on to the Old Testament. I would recommend if you're reading the Old Testament, read it with some helps or read it with some other Christians, maybe somebody that's a little bit farther down the path than you. I will also say this, and I mentioned it last week, technically beginning today, we're doing a reading program, reading through the Psalms, journey through the Psalms, and we have reading plans that are out in the foyer on the tables or on the information stand. And the goal is to read through the Psalms, 150, 15 a week over 10 weeks leading us to Easter. And I'll typically do it about twice a year. And it's a wonderful way to just be stretched a little bit in how you pray, how you think about God, the heart that you have as you worship. So we're going to begin that today. I encourage you to do that. If you want to go a little deeper, we'll do a Bible study on Wednesday night. We'll talk about what we're reading. On the back of the card is some questions that you can kind of keep in mind as you read through the Psalms. So we need the tools for the journey, a time, a place, and the pace that we're going to go on. Let me mention one more step. Invite others to join you on the journey. Invite others to join you on the journey. It is enriching and edifying to study the Bible with other people. You can share insights, you can discuss applications and insights that you may have, questions that you might have, and then hold each other accountable. My experience is the key to really successful Bible study is having some accountability in your life. And if you're currently, you know, if you're coming in person to church, why not come an hour earlier, go to Sunday school? We have wonderful Sunday school classes. We've got great teachers. That would be a positive thing. You could come and be a part of the two new studies that we're going to offer on Wednesday night. We'll talk more about the second one here in just a second. If you're participating online or maybe listening on the radio, laying low right now, which is perfectly understandable, I invite you maybe to have a friend read with you or maybe a group of friends and gather together, read through the Psalms together or pick another portion of the Bible and read through it, discuss it, hold each other accountable. A Sunday school teacher explained that she taught her young class the story of when Jesus went to the home and visited with Mary and Martha. And she explained how Martha was just frantically trying to cook the meal and clean the house. And the teacher asked the class, "What would you do if Jesus was going to visit you today?" And a young girl said, "I would put the Bible on the coffee table." You know, the Bible, God's Word, is not designed to be a decoration on a coffee table. Rather, God's truth and wisdom is designed to penetrate into our souls, is to transform our lives from within and lead us down the path of blessing. Psalm 1:3 describes the wise traveler who chooses the path of life with God. This is what life with God will be like. It's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. Do you want to be blessed this new year? Do you want to be blessed? Then make a point to read your Bible. Make a point to delight in the Word of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for just this chance to gather on a beautiful morning, to worship, and just to center our thoughts for a few minutes around your holy word, your revelation to us. Father, I pray that the attitude of the psalmist would be our attitude, that we would see Scripture not as something that we maybe do if we have a little bit of leftover time, but we would see it as the very foundation of our life, that it helps us make sense of everything else in our life. Father, I pray that we would be a people that delight in your word, that meditate upon it day and night, and that prosper this new year. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.